storyline is well and truly on. One excitement interrupted sleep to go. And at Martyrs, we're wishing you a very Merry Christmas Day at the end of a hugely difficult year. For some, of course, tomorrow will be a reminder of hurts sustained both this year and in former ones. We remember you in prayer. For others, you're looking for a little window of cheer in the middle of gloom. Let's try to help that cheer along. Tonight, we're travelling almost 3,000 miles to somewhere that's completely covered in snow. They've got their white Christmas. In fact, they always do. It's not Greenland or Lapland, but we're going to Prince George, British Columbia in Canada to get a Christmas message from a former assistant at the Martyrs here, Reverend Andrew Simpson. I was expecting to see a moose wandering into the shot, but it didn't appear on this occasion, and I'm sure Andrew was happy enough that it didn't. So, on this Christmas Eve, be challenged and cheered by this presentation of the Gospel of God's Grace.
Glorious light seated on our salvation, angels in white fill the skies with their wondrous song, awakening earth with news of his birth. Join the hymn of the highest heavens. Glory to God in the highest, peace to men on earth. Come and adore him with wonder, Christ, Lord of heaven and earth. Long has the world fought this song of the angels. Heavenly music is drowned by a warring world, yet hope burns a light that shatters the night. Turn your heart to the call of glory. Glory to God in the highest, peace to men on earth. Come and adore him with wonder, Christ, Lord of heaven and earth. There is a day all creation has longed for, when all time has been spent, and the Lord returns, his song will repeat, as heaven completes, promised peace that will fill the nations. Glory to God in the highest, peace to men on earth. Come and adore him with wonder, Christ, Lord of heaven and earth.
At this Christmas season, my mind turns to one of my favourite verses in the Bible, where the Lord Jesus, as he stands before Pilate, gives us the reason why he was born. And we read it in John chapter 18 in the verse 37, where the Lord Jesus says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth."
One of my favourite things to do at Christmas is to sit down to a feel-good Christmas story, whether that's on the TV or watching a movie or reading a book. And one of my favourite Christmas books is called A Christmas Carol.
This is a story of a miserable old man known as Ebenezer Scrooge, who scowls at the very name of Christmas. Bah, humbug, he would growl at carol singers and joyful children passing by. One thing he could not stand was how poor people, with not a penny in their pockets or food in their bellies, could sing and dance and be merry. Maybe you've heard the story of the nasty Grinch, who hated Christmas so much that he stole all the kids' presents down in Whoville. But rather than hearing cries of disappointment and sadness on Christmas morning, the Grinch hears joy and laughter and singing. Christmas came. Somehow it came just the same.
These stories help us to show that joy cannot be found in things that we hold and things that can be destroyed or stolen. There's something more than that. And there's an even more wonderful story that tells of a joy that cannot be destroyed. And the wonderful thing about this story is it's 100% true, and it's found in the Bible.
Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the world has been full of great sadness and evil, with wars and disease and crime and pain. People left God behind and went their own way. It was a very sad state, but God made a promise that one day he would send a Saviour who would bring light in this dark world and provide forgiveness for all our sin.
So after many, many years, Jesus, the King of all the universe, finally came to earth as a little baby boy. He was finally here, and over a period of 30 years, he lived a perfect life, and he eventually died on a cross to pay the punishment for our sins, as God has promised.
This is why we sing Joy to the World. This is a moment of great excitement and happiness that even lowly shepherds and rich wise men both came to celebrate the Lord Jesus. Not even King Herod, who tried to kill the baby Jesus in the town of Bethlehem, could stop God's plan.
Jesus came to give you a joy that no one can take away from you, even in the sad times. And the way you can get this joy is to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin and that you become a Christian and live for him. So won't you come and accept this gift this Christmas and that you may have everlasting joy that no man can destroy?
After the angel of the Lord had spoken with the shepherds who were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, we read in Luke chapter 2 in the verse 15 and 16, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." The Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, is indeed one of the most popular carols we sing at this time of the year. It was written by a clergyman named Phillips Brooks, who was born in Boston on Sunday, the 13th of December, 1835. For Phillips, it was the sight of that little town called Bethlehem that inspired him to take up his pen at the age of 33 and write this carol. On Christmas Eve of 1865, Brooks travelled on horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, a distance of about 6 miles, to see the little town where Jesus Christ was born. 3 years on from that momentous journey to Bethlehem, he wrote a poem for a Christmas Sunday school service, asking his organist Lewis Redner to set it to music. Both Brooks and Redner never thought the carol, or indeed the music, would live beyond the Christmas of 1868. Redner's tune was used by Frank Sinatra in the singing of this carol. But here in the UK, we use an arrangement by a man called Vaughan Williams and a tune known as Forest Green. The carol speaks of that little town called Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem meaning house of bread. And has not the Saviour himself said in John chapter 6 in the verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The word of God also declares the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said in John chapter 8 and the verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Brooks captures this thought in verse 1 of the carol. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie, above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Verse 3 of this carol says, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Tonight, if you're not yet saved, it is my prayer that you'll receive this wondrous gift. You'll come to Christ and receive him as your Saviour and Lord, and you'll join with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 15, and be able to say with Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May I wish you all a very happy Christmas, and God bless.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Thank you. Well, good evening. It's a wonderful joy and privilege to be able to bring you the Word of God here from Prince George in British Columbia, Canada. And I pray that even this message would speak to you tonight. And I also want to thank the martyrs and Dr. Brown for the opportunity to bring God's Word. We're going to turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in the chapter number 1. And we're just going to read the one verse, the verse number 18. It says there, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, as I thought about that verse, and I'm sure you can see why I chose that verse, why that verse came into my heart when you can notice the snow all around about me. But I thought about three very simple things that's recorded there in verse number 18. And the first thing we see in those opening words is an invitation. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Now, whenever God invites the sinner to come and to reason, God isn't inviting the sinner to come and to debate. God isn't inviting the sinner into some sort of confrontation or some sort of quarrel. But rather, God here is speaking as one who has authority. And he's speaking to the sinner. He's speaking to us who were unreasonable in our sin. And he's saying to us, "Come to me. Come and be reasonable. Come, let us reason together." Can you not see the situation you're in? Can you not see the dire future and eternity that awaits you? Be reasonable now, O sinner. As you know, as we think about, even as Christians, the time that we spent in the world, the time we spent in that unsaved state, surely we can now say as we look back that we were so unreasonable. It would have been foolish of us to continue on rejecting God. But here God invites the sinner, and he says to the sinner, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." But in that invitation, he's also calling the sinner to realize something and accept something. And the Lord begins immediately to remind the sinner and to help the sinner realize the problem of their sin. He says to them there, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet." And my friend, the first step to getting right with God is acknowledging your sin. That's the first step on the road, is acknowledging that you're not worthy of His grace. You're not worthy of His salvation. You're not worthy of anything God would give to you. You have to acknowledge your sin. And my friend, we have to realize the situation that our sin has put us in. We have to realize that there's a great divide. There's a great separation between us in our sin and God in His holiness. And so the Lord invites us to come. He says, "Be reasonable. Realize the situation that your sin has put you in. Realize that you're standing before God as one where you're under His judgment and not under His love." My friend, do you realize that even at this Christmas season? Do you realize the invitation that God is giving you, even at this time of year, through this gospel message, through all the things around you that remind you of the wonderful gift of God in sending His Son into the world to be our Savior? Does it remind you? Does it remind you of your sin and your need to be right with God? But you know, not just is there an invitation in this verse, there's also a transformation in this verse. It speaks there, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now I searched the house and I searched the church today to try and find something that was like crimson and scarlet. And you know, then I realized that men don't think out of primary and secondary colors. Our spectrum of color ends there. And so I want you to look at this little red Bible. Imagine it as scarlet or crimson or something like that. And I want you to see the contrast between this color and the color of the snow all around about me. And my friend, the Lord uses that type of language to show us the clear contrast that there is. The clear contrast between the purity of the whiteness of His holiness and righteousness. And the great contrast that there is between the dark and the deep colors of our sin. I wonder, have you understood that? I wonder, do you see that you need to be transformed? Your sins are as scarlet. They're very apparent. They stand out very clear in the sight of a holy God. But you know, this verse speaks of a wonderful transformation. Even though your sins stand out so clearly in the eyes of God, even though they are so in a great contrast between God's righteousness and your unrighteousness, yet there is a transformation that you can have. Your sins can be removed. Your sin debt can be taken away. You can be cleansed, and you can be made white as snow or as white as the wool. My friend, I wonder, do you see what God is offering to you as He has invited you to come to Him and be reasonable? Why would you carry on in your sin when He, as the righteous God of heaven, because of the work that Jesus Christ has done and going to the cross and shedding His blood, why would you stay in your sin? Would you not come and be cleansed? Would you not come and be made right with God? Would you not come and know what it is to have your sin forgiven and be prepared to enter into eternity, knowing that you're saved and that you're ready to go? There's one final thing I believe this verse speaks to us of, and I believe it draws out from us a very clear question. Where will you be in eternity? Where will you go when you die? You see, those who continue on in their sin, with that sin that is so red like crimson and scarlet, that sin that is so dark and deep, if you carry on in that way and you carry on in that path, my friend, the judgment of God will come upon you. But the wonderful offer of the gospel to you this evening is that in Jesus Christ and in the work that He did in Calvary, in paying your sin debt, in paying your price, you can be made clean. You can be made as white as the snow. You can be made as white as the wool. Will you come, my friend, and receive that? As you look at the snow all around about me, and this is only the beginning of the snow season here in Canada. Another couple of months and I wouldn't be able to do this, not just because of the cold, but because the snow would probably be up to my knees. But you know, as you look at the purity and the whiteness of that snow, and even perhaps this year back in Northern Ireland, you might even get some snow. But as you see that snow, I trust and I pray that it will remind you. It will remind you about what God is able to do in your heart through Jesus Christ. He's able to cleanse. He's able to save. You know, there's a little children's hymn, and it says, white as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood. Through faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow. Will you come today, my friend? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him, not just as the manger or the babe in the manger, but come, my friend, and accept Him as the one who went to the cross, shed His precious blood, that you could have your sins forgiven and you could be made as white as the snow. I pray that you would come. I pray that you would put your faith and trust in Him. God bless.
Let's pray. We praise you, Lord, for the gospel message from the book of the prophet Isaiah tonight. It reminds us of the old hymn, "Whiter than snow, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow." And we pray that souls tonight will plead with thee for forgiveness from sin and enter into peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. In thy name, for thy glory and their good, we pray. Thanks once again for watching in tonight, and we pray the Lord will do his own gracious work in each of our hearts. Children's question, of course, we can't leave that out, can we? Though there was no moose in the background when Reverend Andrew Simpson was preaching the word, there was an animal, a model one albeit, in the background when his sister Hannah was singing to us. What was that animal? Answers to me, please, through Facebook, Martyrs or mine, or WhatsApp. And as always, if you would like some literature or a Bible plus helps, contact us, please. All that remains for me to say is, have a most blessed Christmas. Stay focused on the Saviour.